Jesus. You're worthy of all the praise and all the glory, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I give you my life. I give you my trust. Jesus. Hallelujah. For you are
seated this morning. If this is your first time, welcome. This is the 10 a.m. adult Bible study class. There is classes going on all over this building from 2 years old to I think 18 for the youth, and then there's life classes. If you're new here and want to learn more about what we believe, those are happening around the building as well. So lots of classes, lots of learning from God's Word. And what's interesting is we're all learning the same thing. We have a series that we go through throughout the year. It's called God's Word for Life. And right now, every class, every level is pretty much learning the same lesson. Right now, the series for, and it's by March, it's by month. So right now we're in April. The series for April is God is with us. And this the text for today, the message for today is that God knows the way. The key thought for today is just that as adults, and the kids have a little bit different, but our key thought is that I will remain faithful to God and trust him to order my steps. How many people have ever heard the phrase, hindsight is 20/20? To me, what that means is it's easy to look back on something and say how it went and say, okay, yeah, that makes sense, or yes, I would have done it or not done it that way. It's easy to look back on a situation and maybe learn some truths, right? It's probably also something we say, we might think when we're in the middle of a situation and we're thinking, man, I wish I knew what was going to happen tomorrow if I could look back into this moment, but we really can't, right? So today in our story, let's try to think of ourselves in each moment of the story. I don't want to get lost in the story because we know the end of the story. Let's not get lost in the end or in the awesome, wonderful, faithful, like just Christian story that we're gonna read. Let's get lost in the moments of the story. Because this is how we see our lives. We see our lives in the moments. We don't get to see the end. If we have faith, we know where God has us in the end, but in the moments, we don't get to see them. So let's jump in to the story of Joseph. Now, we've had some other lessons, and we've talked about Joseph before, and where we're going to start today is our message, our lesson, the verses for this week are Genesis chapter 41, verses 1 through 45. So when you go home, I'm not going to read 45 verses today, but when you go home, you can read verses 1 through 45. They will be in your handouts that you have. There'll be some verses that you're reading. And then the other two texts that we have, and what we're going to do is we're going to read Genesis 41, I think it's 38 through 40. This is our text for the morning. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, "Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art." And then in verse 40 he says, "Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." That's our key verse for today, and we're coming in on chapter 41. And chapter 41 is really the climax of the story of Joseph. If you've read about making movies and books and stuff, there's this, you kind of introduce stuff, and then stuff happens, and then all of a sudden there's this climax, and then it has to be resolved, right? Well, chapter 41 begins the climax of the story of Joseph, but for the sake of all of us, maybe you know the story intimately, maybe you don't. Let's rewind just a little bit. To this point, he was the son of Jacob. He was a favorite son, really, one of Jacob's favorite sons. And he had a bunch of brothers, right? 12 brothers that didn't really like him. One that was his little brother, who was also a favorite son. And then he started having these dreams that implied his brothers were all going to bow down to him someday. And that probably didn't play well because he was already the favorite and they didn't like that. And so what's the logical thing you do if your brother's having dreams about you that make you look bad? Well, you sell him into slavery. And so his brothers sold him into slavery and told his father he was dead. He's dead, which he probably didn't know this at the time, right? But that's got to be rough. And so he's sold into slavery, and he's sold to a man named Potiphar, who is a high-ranking official in Egypt who worked with the Pharaoh. And he's working as a slave. And he's doing a good job. And Potiphar's like, "This is a good slave. Like, I'm going to make him the head of my house. He's going to dress nicer, and he's going to go do my businesses for me. Like, this is really good." But being the head of the house all of a sudden has its drawbacks. You have the attention of Potiphar's wife. You know, maybe not the lowly slave in the field digging the holes has her attention, but this guy, who's now starting to show some shrewdness in business and how he handles people and his integrity and maybe some good looks. And all of a sudden, she makes an advance on him. And he says, "No, that's no, you're my master's wife. I'm not married. This is not how things go." Well, you can imagine that rejection if you're her. And so she accuses him of some sort of sexual misconduct. And I can imagine how this went down. "Hey, Potiphar, he did this to me." And Potiphar looks at like his most trusted person in his whole life. He goes, "Did you do this?" He's like, "No, I didn't. You know this, Potiphar. I wouldn't have." He's like, "Yeah, happy wife, happy life. You're going to jail." And so he sends Joseph to prison. There's some truth in that. We know that, right? Like good, bad, or indifferent, there's some truth in there. He sends Joseph to an Egyptian prison where once again he is just in the dirt doing nothing, right? But all of a sudden, somehow, he works his way up to be like, I don't know what the title would be, like assistant to the guard, like best prisoner of the month. I don't know what this is, but he works his way up. Head prisoner, is that a thing? I don't know. The trustee, I call it laziness by the head guard. It's like, wow, this guy's willing to work. I'm going to have him do all my work. And so that's what happens. And now he's in this position. Remember the last one, the raising of position, let him meet Potiphar's wife, which was not great. And this position lets him meet a bunch of different people. Instead of just being in a cell or in a hole in the ground somewhere all by himself, now he gets to meet people that are coming in. Hey, welcome to the prison. Is there anything you need? We don't have much, but I could get you a rock, maybe a rounder rock, not a squarer rock. And he meets the king's baker and the king's cupbearer. He might not have had this opportunity had he not been in his higher role in prison. He meets them, who were sent to prison because they did something, or the Pharaoh thought they did something, stole something from his, and he's like, I don't know which one of you did it, you're both going to prison, right? So they're like, what? That's not fair. And Justin's like, Joseph's like, let's not talk about what's fair and what's not fair, okay? Because we know my story, and he probably shared a little bit there. But then they're in prison, and they had dreams. And one of them said, you know, this bad thing is going to happen, and the other one said, this thing's going to happen. And he tells them their dream. He says, Mr. Baker, you're gonna die, and the birds are gonna eat you. And he goes to the cupbearer and he says, Mr. Cupbearer, you're gonna be back in your position at the right hand of Pharaoh, serving him his cups. It's like, yes. And the other guy goes, what in the world? So he interprets a dream and they come true. And then when the one guy dies and the cupbearer is on his way out of prison, Joseph goes, hey, mention me. Which he forgot to do. And so Joseph is in prison, and this is the beginning of the climax of the story. Which is weird, because if you look at the story and you start at the moment where his brothers sell him into slavery, he's no better off now than he was 2 years ago when they sold him into slavery. I think he's worse off. He's in an Egyptian prison. The dream he had so long ago seemed like so long ago, if he even remembered it. And so that's where we come into this story in chapter 41, verses 1 through 8. And we're not going to bring all these verses on the screen. We're telling the story. The chapter starts and Pharaoh wakes up and goes to bed and he has this horrible dream. This weird, strange, you ever had a weird, strange dream? You're like, what was that? I'm either going to hell or like, I don't know, like this is scary. The God is coming after me. Or like, I had some weird pizza. No more anchovies, right? And so he has this dream that there's these seven cows that come out of the Nile River. And they're healthy, fat, like just awesome looking cows. The kind of cow that you want to make steak from. And all of a sudden, seven skinny cows, like just wretched little like bony cows that you don't want to do anything but like bury in the back of your yard, right? And he goes, and then he sees these seven skinny girls come up and eat the fat cows. He's like, he wakes up. He goes, wow, that was some weird hummus. We're going to go back to bed. And then he has another dream. And he sees a stalk of corn with seven big, fat, plump ears of corn that you'd see at Sun Ferry Corn Fest, right? The one you want to dip in the butter. He's like, oh, those are good corns. And then all of a sudden, seven thin ears grow out of the same stalk. And the seven thin ears consume the seven healthy ears. Then he wakes up. And for me, this is for what we see in this story is that he's Pharaoh. Now, let's set the stage here. He's Pharaoh. In the ancient Egyptian culture, they're like a god. This is a demigod. He's supposed to essentially either know everything or pretend to know everything. And these dreams freaked him out because he had no idea what they meant. They were disturbing, probably because they were weird and gross, but also because they didn't make sense. And so he calls his magicians and his wise men to figure it out. And it made him look bad because not only could they not figure it out, he didn't know. And so he's sitting there, and at this moment, I can just imagine this. If you have a pharaoh or a king, or you know, in these old cultures where there's this one being in charge of everybody, I can just imagine that he's upset Everybody around him is failing. He feels like a failure. I bet you people are getting killed because he's like, no, you screwed up. You're dying. You screwed up. You're dying, right? All this stuff. I can imagine the chaos and the fear that is going on in this place. And all of a sudden, there's just this dude on the side just waiting with his cup. And he goes, I mean, he probably had to take a little boldness there. Everybody's getting killed probably for not, you know, I'm stretching some things here, but I can, it's how my brain sees it. And he steps out and says, I know this little Hebrew kid. He's in jail. Seriously? All these wise men and magicians, and you bring me the Hebrew kid from jail. Like, this is a horrible idea. Send him. No, wait. I had a dream. And the baker, remember the baker, the guy that got eaten by the birds? Yeah, him. He told him, I was there. He told him he was going to get eaten by the birds. And Pharaoh goes, okay, let's do it. Let's bring him in here. But once again, let's step into the moment. You're Joseph. You have no idea this is going on, probably. You have no idea that your name is finally being mentioned. And you are still in a prison in Egypt, rotting away, but God has given you a dream. And it's like, this doesn't make sense. Why am I in this prison in Egypt? But in that moment, it felt bleak. Because in the chapter before, in chapter 40, verse 14, Joseph had asked the butler, make mention of me unto Pharaoh. But then in verse 23, the butler forgot. Maybe he forgot. Maybe it was just one of those moments where he's like, wow, I just got out of prison. Kind of walking on eggshells here. I'm not going to bring up some Hebrew kid from jail who tells dreams. Like, I'm going to look like a crazy person and go back to jail. Maybe it was a little bit of self-preservation there. Right? So Joseph, I can imagine Joseph too, he's sitting in prison when he tells him this. He's like, well, I was a servant and I was wrongly accused by my high Egyptian leader, Potiphar. And he's a servant of Pharaoh and he was wrongly accused. Maybe we got a little connection here. Maybe he'll remember me. No. And for Joseph, you got to imagine this had to hurt. The time that goes by, this person that was supposed to be connected to you. You got to imagine this had to hurt, that this is like, oh, this guy, this was my hope. I tried. This is one of the few, I think it's the only time where Joseph asked somebody for help in the Bible. And it failed miserably to start. But once again, I look back and I say, this is probably a good thing. Had the butler just randomly walked up to Pharaoh after he got out of prison and talked about the Hebrew kid that told dreams, Pharaoh would have been like, do you want to go back to prison? He probably wasn't coming out of that jail anytime soon. Instead, in a moment of dire need for the country and for everybody around him, where Joseph was exactly the answer that Pharaoh needed, then the butler remembered at the opportune moment. Sometimes we think about our situations in the moment, and we don't realize that God has a plan. It may just not be in our timing. It may just be around the corner. It may be one unjust accusation away. It may just be one forgetful butler away, but God has a plan. We just have to keep walking, and we have to keep following him. We must remain faithful to our God, just like Joseph did. Not faithful to a set of rules. Not faithful to some sort of religion. Not faithful to, look, I'm wearing my tie this morning. Faithful to a God who has all power and control. And so Joseph shows up to Pharaoh's big area. I can imagine this big, I don't even know what they call it. I call it a big area with steps and stuff, and there's a big throne. Whatever you see in the movies, imagine that, okay? Big pillars and colorful things and people with fans and grapes and all that, okay? He shows up in probably a few hours, right? It's probably like, get the Hebrew kid over here. And he shows up. Probably, and he's cleaned up now. He's showered and shaved, and he's in front of the most powerful person in that part of the globe. And while this moment is crucial for Pharaoh, it was even more crucial for Joseph. This was the moment that would show what kind of person Joseph was, what type of leader Joseph might be. Would he use his interpretation skills for revenge to get back at Potiphar? Hold on. Yeah. No. Pharaoh, I can do this for you. But first, Potiphar needs to go to jail. And this cupbearer with the bad memory, he needs to go to jail. Like he could have started making personal demands. Would he use his interpretation skills for revenge? Would he use them to negotiate his release? Would he say, hold on, I want release, let me out, give me a house, all that, and then I will give you an interpretation. He had an that's probably what we would all do, let's be honest. Like, God's not helping here. I'm going to take matters into my own hand. I already asked the butler. He was useless until finally, like a year later or whatever. But I'm going to take matters into my own hand, and I'm going to say, you know what? I think it's God's will that I be assertive. And so, Pharaoh, if you don't do this, I won't give you the interpretation. But that's not what he did, because he trusted in God. In that moment, he humbly replied to Pharaoh and said, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. In this moment, he points himself away from himself. He points away from himself, and he points to God. God was the source of his ability, and he never forgot that. Even in the moment where forgetting it would be helpful to himself and maybe get him out of the situation in his mind, he still pointed to God. He trusted that God had a way. Remember, the title of our thing here this morning is God Knows the Way. He trusted that God knew the way. Instead of choosing self-promotion, Joseph chose the path of humility and service. Instead of choosing revenge and bitterness and getting back at all the unfair things, and if there's a story, if you think you've had an unfair life, I don't think anybody had it more unfair than him. Right? Instead of doing all the things he could to get back at them, he responded with humility and service. In this moment, can we do that? Would we still be focused on all the wrongs in our lives, our bad brothers and sisters, like family, you know, our family that treats us poorly, the wrong accusations from people in our lives, the mean and unjust Pharaoh who probably knew he was innocent, but the butler who forgot him? We all have people in our lives who have hurt us. We could all find situations to get revenge, but Joseph chose to be humble and to serve. In that moment, could I be humble and serve? Could you be humble and serve? In that moment when the world is stacked against us and you have every right to go after, right as in your own mind, not realistically, every right to go after all these people that treated you unjustly, could you be humble and serve? What about in your moments right now? Can we forget and forgive? Oh, but Peter, you don't know. How many times do I preach and I say this? Oh, but Peter, you don't know. This person did this to me. I don't care. God doesn't care. God's response is the same. Forgive, put your head down, and go to work. Can we forgive and forget and be humble? Can we focus on God instead of our circumstances? Can we focus on letting God respond to the situation instead of letting us respond to the situation? And so in verses 25 through 32, we see that Joseph gives the interpretation. He says, the fact that the dreams are paired notes that they're certain, this is going to happen. And two, it's going to happen fast. It's imminence, right? This is going to happen fast. That it would for sure happen, and it would happen soon. And so he says the interpretation of the dreams was about 14 years of harvest that are about to happen in Egypt. He said, you're going to have 7 years of rich, bountiful, awesome harvest where you're going to have so much stuff coming into your country, whether it's growing or whatever, it's going to be so awesome. But then you are going to have 7 years of famine, 7 years where you have so little, maybe even negative. Things are getting killed off. They would be so bad that they would consume the first 7 years. Actually, they would be so bad that people would probably forget about the first 7 years. And another thought here, another fact here, is that the 7 years were shown to come from the Nile. The ancient Egyptians worshipped the Nile River. They relied on the Nile as it rose and whatever that's, those fancy tide things, as it got higher and lower. They relied on that for the cycles to sustain their lives and their plant growth and their agriculture. And the fact that the God of the Hebrews revealed this was further evidence that he was more powerful than they got. The God of the Hebrews revealed that your river is not going to help you here. In fact, it's going to be the source of the problem. Your God, your river God, your demigod Pharaoh couldn't even tell you this. And I'm telling you, your river God is going to be the source of the problem. And so as we look at as we look at lessons to learn here, we start to realize that God will speak to me if I will listen. Joseph had learned the crucial lesson of patience and reliance upon God. Unlike Pharaoh, when he was confronted with an unknown or unexpected future, Joseph did not panic. Instead, Joseph strengthened his faith in God and his commitment to live faithfully before him. Joseph had learned that God would speak in his own way and in his own time, sure, but always exactly when his voice was needed. Joseph could stand with confidence before Pharaoh, knowing that the same God who had given him the interpretation for the butler and the baker for their dreams would not fail to give him the interpretation for the Pharaoh. I can imagine it's like, hey, Joseph, we need you to come to the Pharaoh. Oh, why is that? He's got a dream you have to interpret. Well, what's the dream? Well, he's going to tell you when you get there. Oh, well, that's not a problem because I did the baker, the butler. Yeah, just bring me on. Let's go. Get me a shave and a new little outfit here. At least I'm going to get an outfit out of this, right? And so he goes there in confidence because he knows the God that helped me then is the God that'll help me there, right? And so that's the lesson he learned. And Joseph had complete confidence in the principle that was later articulated by James. James 1, verse 5 and 6. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. He will not rebuke you for asking for this wisdom, and it shall be given to you. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. God, give me the right thoughts. Give me the right thing to say in this moment. Help me to know what to do. God, I don't know what to do. Be humble and serve right now. Be humble and serve. I'll get you into the position where you got to do something, but be humble and serve right now. But I want to speak. I want to have this big impact on huge amounts of people. Be humble and serve. Be humble and serve. But that's not the dream I had. The dream I had was like 12 people bowing down to me and I'm in a prison serving garbage to people. Be humble and serve. Be humble and serve. And so sometimes Joseph learned that sometimes when God is speaking, he's speaking to stay where you're at and face what you're going through with me by your side. I will take you to where you need to be. The challenge is in our day is not that God no longer speaks to us, but rather that we don't notice or don't actually listen when he does. So many times the downturns and bad times of our lives are orchestrated by God to create space for us to hear his voice. Let me say it again. So many times the bad situations and the downturns in our lives are orchestrated by God so that we can begin to hear his voice. And I would say the all-powerful God of the universe, even if he didn't create that event, he's going to use it to let me hear his voice. James said, God will not withhold his wisdom from them that seek it. But John chapter 14, 26 says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring remembrance all things I have said to you. When we are focusing on God, the Holy Spirit, if you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, it will teach you all things if you will listen. But sometimes we won't listen because just Netflix is too good. Sometimes we won't listen because my hobbies are too good. They're the things that I use to distract myself from the situation. I could be in the Pharaoh's prison and I could be marking things on the wall and counting rocks and making friends with the guy next to me and being distracted. Or I could be humble and serve like Joseph did. And that's how God transformed him. If we ask to hear his voice, he will help us hear it. But sometimes that means putting us in situations where we have to start listening closely. So Joseph, he tells him the dream, but he doesn't stop there. He's like, oh, and if you want to do this right, here's how you do it. Let me give you a suggestion, Mr. Powerful Leader from the Hebrew kid in jail. Let me tell you something, which is another life lesson. If you're going to bring me problems, bring me solutions. Right, that's a free one. I'm good at that in some areas. I'm not good in others. That's my boss. There's some areas I need to do better at that. But either way, bring me problems and bring me solutions. He suggested a plan not only to avoid disaster, but that would provide prosperity for Egypt and its neighboring nations. And Pharaoh made him the second in command of one of the most powerful nations in all the world. The events of Joseph's life led him to be in a place of influence in the world. The world. If he was focused on a dream of 12 people bowing down to him, if he was focused on a dream that said, I want to impact 12 people, he wouldn't have been here. He was focused on being humble and serving and knowing that God knew the way. Just like in the story of Joseph's success in Potiphar's house that we read in chapter 39, once again, the word all is used to indicate the success of Joseph's work as Pharaoh's second in command. And these are in 41. In verse 37, Pharaoh says, or it says, the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, in the eyes of all his servants. In verse 39, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thee. Genesis 41:40, according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. And in verses 41, he says, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Shortly, Joseph would learn that his original dream would actually become a reality. His 12 brothers would come down and bow in front of him. Actually, though, everyone except for Pharaoh was going to bow before this man. Everyone, not just 12 people. God fulfilled Joseph's dream and so much more. We've heard it said that God wants to do so much for you. He has blessings for your life. He wants to do exceedingly abundantly that which you can ask or think. God, I want 12 people. I want to somehow be an impact on 2 people, 12 people. God's like, I can do more than you could ever think of, Mr. Joseph. You just get humble and serve. I know the way I'm taking you, and it's going to be way more than 12 people. We look at this story, and it's easy to see God at work at Joseph's life. And we want to see God at work in our lives as well. But let's look again at it from Joseph's perspectives. In each one of these moments, would you still be faithful? Having been sold into slavery, wrongly accused, imprisoned, forgotten about, would you still be faithful? We look at our own lives and maybe we don't see slavery or false accusations. Maybe we don't see an Egyptian prison or a forgetful butler. But we see struggles in our home. We see difficult coworkers. We see difficult situations at jobs and friends that we have issues with, or maybe they're not friends anymore. We see people hurting us and treating us poorly. We see people taking advantage of us, and we see the cares of this life choking us. And in the moment, we get frustrated and become distracted, and we respond in anger, in hate, in revenge. We get bitter and we get vengeful. We say, where is God? And why did he leave me? Why did he leave me? But maybe there's more to it. Maybe God is using each situation to get you closer to him and closer to the situation he can use you. Maybe he is changing you to be the person or leader he wants you to be. The person or leader the world around you needs you to be. Maybe, just maybe, these situations are there to change you. But in those situations, we want our boss changed. We want our friend changed. We want our spouse changed. Oh, if we could just have all this stuff changed, this would be better. And God's sitting over you looking, saying, no, you're wrong. You're the one that needs to change. Yeah, but it was not me. I did not do that to his wife. This is just a dream. Like, you're the one that needs to change. I know the way. I know where I'm taking you. You're the one. I look back and it's interesting to see how each rise in position with Joseph puts him into a situation that would drive him back down. But that, it's almost like if you saw a graph from you guys' perspective, it's like, he's like, oh, look at this. I'm the favorite son. Well, the favorite son made him get sold into slavery. But slavery, he was a favorite servant. But the favorite servant made him, now you see my hand is higher than being the favorite son. The favorite servant, right, made him so popular that he got Potiphar's wife's attention, which made him send to prison. But being in prison got him even closer to Pharaoh. He was now next to the cupbearer. And he worked his way up. And now he was next to the most powerful man in that area of the world. Each one of these situations It's like, oh, look at this. And there he's there. And that's where the climax happens. I want to show a video. So with this series, they have some videos, right? And we could, sometimes we use them, sometimes we don't. I have a video. This is not from the series. This is from me. There's a cartoon movie we watched with the kids called Joseph. I think it's King of Dreams. Okay, it's a cartoon. And there's a video in here that we love this video as a family, but we also really love this song. And it really applies. So I want to play this video right now. Sister Tara, we're going to make this, we're going to try this. It's a song. Just so.
I thought I did what's right. I thought I had the answers. I thought I chose the surest road, but that road brought me here. So I put up a fight and told you how to help me. Now just when I have given up, the truth is coming clear. You know better than I. You know the way. I've let go the need to know why. For you know better than I. If this has been a test, I cannot see the reason, but maybe knowing I don't know is part of getting through. I try to do what's best, and faith has made it easy to see the best thing I can do is put my trust in you, for you know.
Joseph had a tree in prison. But I know what he did do was work hard and humble himself, and everything he touched prospered. That's what they're trying to show us there. The story of Joseph is a prime example of the psalmist's wisdom that we read in Psalms 37, verse 23, where it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. If you've seen my sister, when she comes back, every now and then they ask her to sing a song, and she always sings the song, "He's Been Faithful." Where he says, "He's been faithful, faithful to me," right? It's a great song. But I'll tell you, that song is harder to sing looking forward than it is looking back. It's easy to look back and say in my life, man, God's been faithful. But it's hard when you're standing in the prison and you're wrongfully accused, be like, "He's been faithful, faithful to me." Like, that's hard. But sometimes I have to sing it looking backward so I can trust it looking forward. God's faithfulness to Joseph did not eliminate the difficulties in Joseph's life. God's faithfulness to Joseph did not eliminate the difficulties in his life. If you are hoping that serving God will eliminate difficulties, you are wrong. Instead, the difficulties that God has there will grow you into what he wants for you. In the moment we start facing those difficulties by being humble and serving, the moment we start doing that is the moments like, okay, God, now God says, now we're start going in the right direction. All these situations help put Joseph in the position God could ultimately use him. Too many times we want to be used of God, but we don't want to go through the faith building, the life-altering, painful process that we need to go through so we could be in the mindset and position to be used. If you were to take a survey of all these people that you look and you know, great leaders and Christians, you say, man, I want to minister like them. I've thought that at times. And then you've had conversations with some of these people and you're like, wow. I would tell you behind every person that God is using is some humility and service and some probably really, really painful, difficult situations. God did not keep Joseph from slavery or false accusations in prison, but rather he helped him through those traumatic experiences. Doing things God's way means following his word, choosing to use his word to define how we respond to a situation. Okay, I've been wrongly accused. What does God's word say you should do? Somebody treated me poorly. Somebody hated me. Somebody took advantage of me, wanted my coat. You can find the verses there. There's enough, right? What does God's word say? And that's what's encouraging for me today. That I can choose to walk faithfully with a God who does all things well. Even when it doesn't seem like it in the moment, I can choose to walk faithfully. Even when my situation is dire and it looks horrible, I can follow him and trust in him because he is faithful. And if you can't look back and see his faithfulness, that's okay. Because at some point, you got to start walking forward. And once you do, over time, you'll look back and see his faithfulness. You can all stand this morning. I'm going to close in prayer. I just want to encourage you. I want to try to, the story we learned from Joseph, and maybe it's really internal for me too, because the story I learned in my own life is it's so easy to want to get out of the situation. But when I look back, all the situations formed me and shaped me in the ways God wanted. And if I'm being overly transparent, in the situations I'm going through right now or tomorrow or yesterday, sometimes it takes me a little bit to realize that. Sometimes I sit there and say, I got to get out of this situation. What in the world? You need to change, Brother Seidel. You need to change. This is difficult for me. And it takes me a little time, but over time in prayer, if I will just be humble and serve, I start to realize, okay, whether Brother Seidel needs to change or not, it's not my business. I can respond how I can respond. That's why they call it responsibility, the ability to respond. I'm trying to teach my kids that. I can follow him and trust him because he is faithful. Let's pray this morning, but let's pray that we could hear God's voice when he speaks and that we remain faithful to him. And then maybe also that in these moments where life is difficult, that maybe we learn a little bit quicker instead of taking a year to figure out, oh, I'm supposed to be the one to change. Maybe we could learn that. So let's pray. Thank you, God, so much for your word. God, thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the testimony of Joseph, God, and how he in every single moment, God, chose to be faithful to you because he knew you were going to be faithful to him. Even when we could see the story and see how it ends, see how awesome it was going to be, he couldn't see that in every step. And it looked very hard, God. Help us to hear your voice every day. Help us to notice your voice, to pick it out of all the different voices in the world right now, God. And help us to remain faithful to you. God, I want to allow you to order my steps. And God, when life's difficulties, which inevitably come into our lives, God, help us to notice that it's for me to change and not the people around me. Help me to notice that faster. God, Lord, I pray over every person here. I pray that you would work in their hearts and minds. In whatever their situation, whatever their circumstance, whatever wrong thing or difficulty is happening in their life right now, God, I pray, Lord, that you would speak into it and show them the humble and servant path. In Jesus' name. If you have children, they could be picked up with the check-in station. Our next service will start just a couple minutes after 11, and we will see you there. God bless.